Do we have, and I've already touched on this today, do we have any Ipswich Town fans here? What? That's what I like to hear. Is he? Well, you might have guessed or have heard that the manager, Mick McCarthy, finally left the club about a month ago. And during the run-up to that decision, after yet another dreadfully dull season of what could loosely be called football, the fans were chanting for McCarthy to go. And the pundits in the media would quite often put out a retort to those disenchanted fans with a simple phrase, and it would be careful what you wish for. Yeah. But where does that phrase come from? Anybody know? What does it mean? It's not in the Bible, no. But it is close, because it's actually an old variation of a Yiddish curse, really. And it went like this. May you get what you wish for. Okay? So if you're using the word wish, it's not the right way to do it. You should be praying for blah, blah, blah. That sort of thing. Now, this sort of idea is graphically enacted or illustrated in a very famous short horror story by a W.W. Jacob. Anybody heard of The Monkey's Paw? Yeah. Mm. It's a family whose son has been killed in a work accident in the factory. He's mangled to death, basically, right? And they wish on a monkey's paw for him to come home. And they deeply regret it when he does and knocks on the front door, because they fail to specify in what condition, alive or dead. So it's also a theme in various stories about, well, compacts with the devil. Yeah, who grant you your wish, but not exactly the way that you were thinking it would be, because you failed to give all of the conditions, or to specify the conditions. Remember Bedazzled, that film? Well, yeah, it has been recently, it was remodeled and redone again. And the main character wishes to be rich and have a beautiful wife. So he wakes up as a powerful drugs baron. And that's quite appropriate this morning, isn't it? That's what we've already heard. In Latin America. And his rivals are trying to kill him. And he's married to a very beautiful wife who just happens to hate his guts. So he's not getting what he wished for after all. It's a phrase that implies that you may not have thought through the consequences of having your request come true, which may be not so good as you thought. So when you go to pray, do you present God with a wish list, a shopping list? You can join in on the last verse.
Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
You know it.
My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until three. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town?
This proves the age of the audience, I think, there. Yeah, it is the worrying thing, including myself. I think before we call upon the name of the one true living omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God, we should get our motives and reasons in shape and order first, or it may be a case of be careful what you ask for. And I believe it's important to bear that in mind as we come to the passage that I've been asked to speak on here this morning. Thanks, Ken, for giving me the task to preach for 20 minutes on just two Old Testament verses. You are a pal. Here we get there? Here we go. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Jabez was more distinguished than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because she had such a hard time at his birth. Jabez means distress. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would wonderfully bless me and help me in my work. Please be with me and in all I do and keep me from all evil and disaster." And God granted him his request. Now, I mentioned that I was a tractor boy. Well, I am a tractor boy, although no longer a season to get older. So I can identify with Jabez and the meaning of his name, as the footballers caused me much distress. In other translations, it says his name means pain. A lot of people have called me a right pain. But the Bible says that he was an honourable man. More honourable than the rest of his family. Why was that? Well, it just might be because he was known for wanting to do all that he could do for God. And it's significant that what Jabez is distinguished for is not for some outstanding building work or fighting some really horrific battle. He simply prayed a prayer. Just one. But out of all the people in these 9 chapters around this part, list of characters, 9 chapters full, he alone is lifted out because of that prayer he prayed. So firstly, consider this. And at first, it sounds very selfish. Jabez prayed for God to bless Jabez. Absolutely. He sought God's blessing on his own life. He wanted God's best and believed that God wanted him to give it to him. Now, he may well have remembered his ancestor Abraham when the Lord said, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." He was not worried about being selfish. Jabez sought the blessing of God, and he might be a blessing to the world. The NIV says this: Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." Why the enlarge my territory bit? Well, because Jabez was distinguishable from all the other thousands of names mentioned in those genealogies in this book by being identified by saying he was the one who prayed to God. He was the one out of all those names. It was him. It was him who did it. He was the one that stood up to be counted. It's sad, isn't it, when so many people have never got a purpose larger than themselves. Content just to be Mr. and Mrs. Average. This is why Jabez prayed the second part of the prayer. Jabez prayed that God would enlarge his territory. You see, Jabez was from the tribe of Judah, which was the ruling class in Judea, which was the ruling class amongst the Hebrews. To increase this territory meant that his people would have more to live and flourish in, and that he would have more people to serve as a leader. Obviously, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the welfare of others. Oh, that you would wonderfully bless me and help me in my work. A leader is a servant to the people who are his charges. And as a leader of the people and a prayerful servant of God, Jabez wanted to enlarge his territory so that more people would come to know the rule and the blessings of a kingdom where not him, but God reigned. The whole Bible screams at us, doesn't it? That our whole reason for existence is to be a blessing to God and a blessing to the world. That's it. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but the world does not revolve around you. You are not here for you. Don't believe me? Well, believe St. Paul. Since we believe that Christ died for all of us, we should also believe that we have died to the old life we used to live. He died for all so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might live no longer for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ, who died and rose again for them. Your whole purpose for existence is to be a blessing for the world. Your whole purpose of being is to be a blessing to the world. There's nothing wrong with praying for God to bless you, but only if it's for the purpose of being a blessing. It's not wrong to pray for wealth, but only if you're wanting to bless people with your material blessings. If you want to be able to give more to missions and an outreach program so that people will know to come to Christ, then by all means pray for material prosperity. If you want wisdom so that you can help others, then pray for wisdom. For the Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If you want to have more so that you can give more, then I believe that it's an acceptable prayer. It's not a wish or shopping list like Janis Joplin, like solely made up of things to free you from the distress that everyday life throws at you and to make you feeling really comfortable. It's not for that. But if you want more wealth in order to spend it on yourself, be careful what you ask for. If you want wisdom so that you can feel smarter than the other people, be careful what you ask for. If you want success or want to be a leader so that you can lord it over others and feel important, be careful what you ask for. But if you want to serve others with more talents and more resources, then pray for those things in order that your God-blessed life may be a blessing to others. So why not ask? Simple. Okay. Everybody lean to your right. Sharp turn ahead. Jabez prayed to be wonderfully blessed. What does that being blessed mean, though? In terms of the Bible, it can mean a couple of things. The Hebrew for bless is barak. I wonder where he got his name from. To pray is congratulate or salute. Another Hebrew word for blessing is esha, which is also translated as happiness. In the New Testament, there are two primary Greek words translated as blessing. Makarios. Didn't there used to be an archbishop, Makarios? A long time ago. Makarios carries the meaning, as with the Hebrew, of happiness. And there is also eulogio. Focus on good words or a good report that you might give to somebody. Yeah? It's the same in the English word of eulogy, in which we speak well of somebody who's passed away. We do a eulogy. Now, at the moment at Key Church, we are on a series exploring the Sermon on the Mount. And as you may know, this sermon begins with a section all about blessings. And we call them Beatitudes, thank you. Just testing if you're still awake. And these are them. Matthew 5. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can be bought. Can't be bored. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. His food and drink in the best meal you've ever eaten. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. Remember, that's Jesus speaking. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Okay, so this is Jesus' explanation of what it means to be blessed. And I, for one, am not going to argue the toss with it. But can you notice that most of these blessings, and I think this is appropriate this morning from what I've heard, and I know it's not all of them, they come from a place of distress. Can you see the reflection of Jabez's prayer here? Coming from distress, God will deliver to us blessing. God is on our side. More than that, he is alongside us. He's that close, holding us close, allowing us to stand when all around are falling. amazing, isn't it? Somebody said they were glad to know that they were worth it. It's great to know that God stands by you because you are worth it. God blesses us and continues to bless us. Oh, for the power in my life to recognize how God blesses me each and every day of my walk with him. Are you seeking to recognize that also in your lives? So why not ask for that? Ask God to reveal to you how he has, is, and will be blessing you within the framework of the words of Jesus as he sat on the slopes of that hillside, surrounded by a cast of thousands, hanging on to every word he said there in Judea some 2,000 years ago. Okay, everybody turn to the left, or lean to the left. Successively negotiated the chicane. Can we stand and say this prayer? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You can sit down. I take it you did know that one then. Yeah? Well, what was it? Yes, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Although, strictly speaking, it's not the Lord's Prayer. Our prayer. Do you know where it occurs in the Bible? We're just under blessings in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, still in the Sermon on the Mount, that's where Jesus gives them this prayer. Yeah? And you can see another reflection of Jabez's prayer in the line, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a pull-out straight from Jabez's prayer. Of course, it is a prayer that we recite word for word, isn't it? And we do it very, very regularly. A large number of people at our church have set their alarms on their phones to 12 o'clock, so that's past now, so that they have a reminder to say the Lord's Prayer at that time. Then we know that everybody is praying collectively. Of course, this prayer is entwined into the fabric of our society, isn't it? The people's lives, both inside and outside of the church, it's still recited in schools up and down the land. And kids learn it from a very early age. And it becomes an easy peg for the non-religious to throw their hat on. Well, I think there is a concern for us as followers of Christ about reciting this prayer on the basis that we do. I'll show you what I mean. Here it is in Matthew 6, okay? Do you know what the verse that goes before that is? No? Don't recite the prayer over and over as the heathens do, who think prayers are answered only by repeating them again and again. Remember, your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And then we go on to the Lord's Prayer, which we do over and over. I like the Message version of it as well. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. Oh dear. How come we've got it so wrong? Now, from here, I'll run the risk of going a bit contra to Ken in what he said in his introduction to Jabez a month ago. So, hang on to your hats. You see, what rubs me up the wrong way is how the prayer is implemented. Jabez's prayer, that, not I mean. Now, I take it you've been going through a certain little book. Yeah? The Prayer of Jabez? Okay, right. That's a book that was written by a guy called Bruce Wilkinson, which was released in a whirlwind of plaudits back in 2000. And he specifically, Frank made teeth in for me dog, instructs us to pray the Prayer of Jabez every morning. This is chapter 7. Wilkinson gives specific instructions as to what he wants his readers to do. Pray the Jabez prayer every morning and keep a record of your daily prayer by marking off a calendar or a chart you make especially for that purpose. I don't know. From what Jesus just told me, I doubt it. Write out the prayer and tape it in your Bible, in your day timer, whatever that is, on your bathroom mirror or some other place where you'll be reminded of your new vision. Do you need reminding? Reread this little book once each week during the next month, asking God to show you important insights you may have missed. Well, he's the author. He's going to say that, isn't he? Tell one other person of your commitment to your new prayer habit and ask him or her to check up on you. Fair enough. Begin to keep a record of changes in your life, especially the divine appointments and new opportunities you can relate directly to Jabez's prayer. Really? Start praying the Jabez prayer for your family, friends, and local church. Well, how about just the normal prayers? Nowhere in the Bible do we ever read God commanding us to pray the prayer of Jabez. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:56, 5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." But Solomon, in all his wisdom, never commanded us to pray the prayer of Jabez. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," Jesus did not instruct them to pray the prayer of Jabez. Rather, he gave them an outline or template to guide them in their topics of prayer. And this is the same way we should treat the prayer of Jabez. It's not the mechanics we should be getting caught up with, but it's the intent, the intensity, the attitude of our hearts. It's the content, our priorities. That's what we should be praying about. Us wanting to be more available to God. So we come back to the start of our little drive-through of Jabez. Jabez wanted to be used by God more than anything else. So is that your prayer? Is that your desire? Is there a longing, a passion inside of you to be used by God no matter what it takes? Or are you living only for yourself at this time? Or are you wanting God to use your life in this world? Do you want to be blessed, like Jabez, by God, to be a blessing? Then pray for God to enlarge your life and your sphere of influence. Ask him for something so big that you can't possibly do it by yourself. Then you'll know it is of God. Ask him to enlarge your territory. But remember, surely there is more to life than just trying to make yourself happy. Closing prayer, and I've babbled on too long. Only pray this if you understand what you may be asking for and its implications. Lord, today I pray that, just like you did Jabez, you enlarge my territory and bless everything I have